No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Dennis. We are your crew today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information here on Just Plane Radio. The show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. All right, so last week we were talking a lot about Dennison's Mooney 201 and flying it over to Bimini and back. I had a great time. And one of the big stories that we didn't really cover at all last week because, well, we had our, you know, the plate was full. And it was making quite an impression on a lot of aviators was this story about the Cirrus Vision jet being grounded by the FAA. And I didn't want to get into it last week because we didn't really know what exactly was going on yet. News was breaking still as we were doing the show. However, a week has passed, and here we are, and we find out that the Vision Jet, which was proudly on display at Sun and Fun, I admired that thing. I was thinking, man, that would be an awesome ride. Right? You'd agree with me on this, right, Dennis?
That'd be a fantastic ride.
I mean,
think how fast we could get to the Bahamas.
You know what? We'd be like going back in time.
And we'd be going in style too. I mean, have you looked inside that thing and seen the interior?
Yeah. And it's nice and roomy.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah. Very spacious. And yeah, it zips through the sky like a rocket. Well, not quite. It did last week. Right now, if you have one, you're grounded if you haven't got the sensor replaced. So there's an angle of attack sensor on the Cirrus jet, the Vision jet, that has created some problems, and they're comparing it to the Boeing MAX airplane incident, where the sensor gives you a false signal, and then it takes control and tries to pitch down or something, or what does it do? What are they saying?
On the 737 MAX, that was the problem. The MCAS system would actually force the nose down, and the pilots would have to fight against it. In the Cirrus's case, it turns out it's a faulty sensor and not a software problem, and so the fix is going to be relatively straightforward. The manufacturer of those probes identified some quality control issue that slipped through their manufacturing process, and so they're replacing the sensors. But in all cases on the Cirrus jet, the pilots were easily able to override it just by hitting the autopilot disconnect, and it was just more of an irritation. But, you know, you have to report when you have those types of malfunctions, which is how it got the attention of the authorities.
Right. And so they've pinpointed the issue. They've grounded the jets in the meantime until you get this sensor replaced. And what I don't know, and what we haven't heard, is how much time does that entail? Do they have all the parts? I mean, there's, what, about 120 of them out there in the field at the moment, they're saying?
That's at latest count. Yeah, that sounds about right. And, you know, it just depends how quickly can the manufacturer get new ones out, and how long will it take, like you said, to get these installed.
Right.
You know, if it is just a probe, it should be fairly simple. It's not like they have to, you know, remove skins from the plane and whatnot. It should be fairly straightforward.
Yeah. Well, probe, sensor, I don't know. Who knows? It might just be a little, you know, thing they got to plug in and replace. Who knows what it is? But I would imagine it would be a bit of a drag if you're a Vision Jet owner and all of a sudden you got that notice like, what? I can't do what? I got
this multi-million dollar plane and it's just sitting there and I can't fly it.
Yeah.
That's unacceptable.
That is not a good day. But hopefully
it's definitely a black eye, you know, but on the other hand, they identified the problem quickly they're working towards fast resolution. So I don't think they're going to take nearly the hit that Boeing has gotten with the impact of the 737 MAX.
Yes.
Problems.
Yes. We will see. But if you're a Vision Jet owner, you know this. If you're not and you're planning to get in one of your buddies, you might want to make some other arrangements. At least till they get that resolved. But that's unfortunate. But hopefully, like you said, they caught it earlier as opposed to later, and they'll be able to resolve the issue quickly and get everybody back in the air sooner as opposed to later. All right, so some other stuff, more positive, I guess. This is more kind of human interest type stuff, but we're going to kind of bounce around a little bit on today's virtual cruise through the latest aviation news and information. A couple who met in the Southwest Airlines baggage claim evidently decided to get married this past week in the place they met. You wouldn't think the Southwest baggage claim area would be the appropriate place for a wedding ceremony, but they did because they met there. And I don't know what I think of this. I guess whatever works, or would you be a little bit annoyed that you're coming off the airplane to go collect your baggage and find out you can't get to your bags because you're having a wedding?
Hopefully they got more than one bag claim, right?
Let's hope. Yeah, this was, where were they? Let me see here. Cleveland Airport is where this happened this past week. I mean, it's unique. I mean, I will say that. That's one of the most unique places I've ever heard of having a wedding ceremony. And if they met there, I mean, obviously there's that personal connection, but I don't know. I never thought of a baggage claim being a romantic area. Usually there's negative feelings that you have around baggage claim.
Lost baggage.
And, yes.
You know, there's a reason people pay extra to carry on or only carry on bags so they don't have to deal with the bag claim. So,
yeah, it's,
hey, maybe we're all missing out on something. Maybe that's that love connection that we're missing by not going to baggage claim.
I don't think so. I don't think many people will find the baggage claim area as your happy place. But for this couple, God bless them, Rachel and Michelle, or I think that's right. No, Michelle and Ron. I'm sorry. That's it. Michelle and Ron. Rachel wrote it, I guess. She covered this wedding ceremony. It was their happy place because that's where they met. So God bless them. We wish them the best. And for all the publicity they gave Southwest, I hope they got some free airline tickets out of the deal to celebrate their honeymoon. Maybe that's what they were going for.
Maybe that's why they did it. Yeah.
That could have been the genius of this whole thing. I mean, heck, we're talking about it. So there you go. Another little human interest story. You had one. What was it?
Yeah, well, and it ties into the whole wedding thing. So this week I had an opportunity to go up to one of our local EAA chapters and meet with them. And they were celebrating the accomplishment. They just got done working with EAA to restore their B-25 Mitchell out at Oshkosh. And this Minnesota chapter probably donated about 75% of the man hours. We're talking 15,000 hours of labor to restore that plane.
Wow.
But one of the members announced that he's getting married, and him and his fiance are getting married in the B-25. He said that was the only way that they would get married would be in the plane. So when they're doing the they're bringing the airplane up here to Minnesota for a tour, and they're having their wedding inside the plane. It'll be officiated and everything. And so I did have to ask the fiance if they're going to be standing over the baggage door when the when they say their vows. So at least there's one last chance to escape. And she assured me she would not be wearing a parachute. So,
well, maybe that's she set it up that way. So if he happened to say no,
well, that's what I'm saying.
She said, you know, I don't.
She said, I'm not wearing a parachute. I'm not dressing in camouflage. So we're committed. I can't just have somebody open the bomb door and drop them out.
Well, you can if they say I don't instead of I do. I mean, you know, so you look at it either way, escape route or a way to
eject.
The partner, if they don't cooperate accordingly. So the couple that are getting married in this, which I think is way, you know, more romantic, honestly, than the baggage claim at Southwest. That maybe that's just me. But did they helped in this refurbishing of this airplane,
yes,
too?
So yeah, they both had worked on it. So
it sounds like, you know, they might even use that as incentive to get it done. You know what I'm saying? Which one it worked for, I don't know. But you say, honey, I'll get you married as soon as we get this thing done. And he's thinking, this is going to take years.
And well, that's the funny thing is EAA thought this was going to take 10 years to do the restoration on this airplane.
Yeah. But she probably jumped in and said, okay, we're going to get this done.
Yep. And she probably cracked the whip on it because it was 4 years and 4 months and they got it done. And so that airplane is flying now. Its first flight was actually just last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'd be interesting to get the backstory to that whole thing.
Yeah, you know, if anybody's interested, take a look at EAA's website. It's the B-25 called Berlin Express, and there's lots of articles on there. And it was EAA Chapter 237 out of Anoka, Minnesota, that was very instrumental in doing the work on that airplane.
Okay. Well, that sounds pretty exciting and good. So we wish them the best as well. I think, once again, that's a way more romantic kind of way to do this whole marriage thing, I would say, than baggage claim.
Last option to back out, you know, because if you've ever been inside of an old warbird, they're really, really loud. So, you know, you can always say, I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you say.
I can't hear you! Louder! Yeah, you could use that excuse as well. It sounds like you and I are just looking at this the wrong way. Because we've been married.
And you're coming up on how many years?
30. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Next weekend. That's me. Yeah, I made it this long. But I didn't get married in baggage claim or in an airplane.
But maybe she'll leave you at the baggage claim in L.A.
Yeah. But we did meet at a mud wrestling competition. So it's a whole thing. We'll save that for another time. Stay close to Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Everybody on every plane should just constantly be going, oh my God! Wow! Yes! You're sitting in a chair in the sky.
Yes. Yes.
Come on and fly.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Dennis. And now we got the Mean Dude connected with us as well. Mean Dude, how are you, my friend?
Greg, I am surviving as always. How are you doing?
Have you been flying lately at all or no?
I actually had to move the plane last week. They shut down Shiloh Rockingham County Airport where I based my aircraft, and I had to move her up the road to Greensboro.
So that means you had to fly it there, or did you
trailer it? No, we flew her there, believe me, and Counting the minutes till the runway's resurfaced, and then get back into my hangar.
Well, there you go. All right. So, Mean Dude, he's really not that mean. He just has that moniker. Are you using that in the air, by the way? Mean Dude, coming in final. You don't do that, do you?
You know, I wish I could get my own call sign and be Mean Dude 1.
Yeah. Do you have to have, you'd have, I don't know, what is the word with that? Or what do you have to do to make that happen, Dennis?
You got to apply to the FAA to get a call sign, but I don't think it's that hard to do.
So instead of using your tail number, you could use your call sign instead?
Yep. You could have a call sign, but then you'd also have to update your ADS-B to reflect that call sign then.
Hmm. But we don't know if they, that costs money or all that kind of stuff.
Might be worth it, though. You know, gadget one.
Genius would be mine.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Perpetual student one.
That works more.
A guy can dream. We'll leave it at that. All right. Look, Mindo, you weren't able to get out to Sun and Fun, but we obviously did quite a bit of coverage out there. And one of the things, actually, we didn't get around to this airplane, but after the event happened, we got this press release about this kit airplane that literally flew to Sun and Fun from California nonstop, like 13 hours in the air without stopping, all the way to Sun and Fun. And it looks pretty impressive on paper. Like I said, it was there at Sun and Fun. I didn't see it. You didn't notice that, did you, Dennis?
I didn't see it come in, no.
I mean, it was in the light sport area, I'm guessing, or the kit airplane areas. But this was the Sling, what was it called? The Sling TSI?
I want to say it's Sling TSI.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's a relatively new aircraft in Sling's arsenal, but it's flying behind the new Rotax TSI engine, hence the Sling TSI name. But
four-seater looks fairly
four-seater
comfy. 100. I mean, it looks probably bigger than your Mooney. I'm guessing. You think?
Well, probably about the same.
Yeah,
but it's flying behind a smaller engine in theory. I mean, it's a 150 horsepower engine, but it's a turbocharged engine, so at altitude, it's still able to make 150 horsepower, where the Mooney's power starts to drop off as soon as you start to climb. And
yeah.
So, you know, we might be at 65% power at 9,000 feet. Well, so that's just over 100 horsepower.
Right.
So that can definitely help.
That can help a lot, especially when it comes not only just to climbing up there, but as far as fuel efficiency. They said they were getting an average of like 6.5 gallons per hour, which is insane.
And the great thing is that engine can run on car gas.
Oh, really?
So,
well, there you
go. Yeah. Actually, it runs better on car gas than 100 low lead. Less problems with the lead fouling. So, yeah, you could, that makes for a very economical airplane at that point.
How about that? What about you, mean dude? You're flying a Cessna, right? Is that what it is?
I'm sitting here running the numbers of my Skyhawk in my mind, and I'm burning about 7 and change an hour, so they've got me beat by a long shot.
Yeah. I mean, that is impressive. I mean, it's a kit plane, you know, which I'm not even sure if it matters. I mean, either you help, you know, build it yourself with the manufacturer's assistance, or maybe you can pay a guy that will help you build it for you or something. I don't know. They got all kinds of different scenarios you can go through in that thing, I believe. Isn't that right, Dennis? Do you know?
Well, the biggest thing advantage is you don't have to be an A&P to work on your own home-built airplane. You can do all of the maintenance, and if you didn't build it yourself, you just need to have a A&P mechanic do the annual inspection. So it can save you a lot of money, mm-hmm. and it also gives you a lot more flexibility on the things that you put in it. You don't have to buy TSO'd and certified parts, and you can go with, you know, the latest and greatest experimental things, which can be significantly less.
Right. But very high end as far as the technology used.
Exactly. I mean, look at Piper. They just went down market with their new Piper trainer, and they put the G3X, which is the experimental glass cockpit, mm-hmm. but is now available for certified planes. Well, if you're buying that for your experimental, it's about a $3,000 flight display. If you're putting it in your certified plane, it's 10. Because of the paperwork and testing that's required. So you can see that there's considerable savings. You can get state of the art at a lot lower cost if you're willing to put some labor in.
Well, there you go. And this one looks pretty impressive. Now, it doesn't say what the price tag on this Sling TSI is, but I'm sure we can you can Google it and find out. But the fact that they got there without stopping, the first thing Dennis pointed out was not the fuel efficiency, or not the fact that they flew 13 hours nonstop. It was more of like, wait a minute, how did they hold it for that long? And that would be where the Little John comes into play, maybe? I don't know.
You know, if I'm building that myself, I think we're just going to put the vent tube right into the airframe.
Yeah, that would be...
Then you don't have to deal with the little baggies.
Well, you don't, but the people below you. Wow, I didn't expect...
Hey, it's raining.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a little on the disturbing side, but
so
Yeah.
The price on that sling isn't that terrible. I pulled it up here on the web. Uh-huh. The quick build with the glass panels priced out at $135,000.
Wow.
Up to as much as $157,000, depending how you want it equipped.
Well, so, I'll tell you.
That includes the engine. So that's a lot of airplane.
What's the carry capacity on that thing, though?
It's a four-seater.
Yeah.
And they claim you can build it in 1,200 hours, which, I mean, you're looking at a couple years for the average home builder with a 1,200-hour kit.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got to find somebody who would do it for you if I were to do that. But, there's something about you have to do, like, what, 51% of the construction or something. I know this only because our buddies... You know, John and, or I mean, not John,
Deb Smokey. Smokey and Jim.
Yeah, Smokey and Jim. They're finishing up their kit plane right now. They have, a Case 12 or something?
RV 12,
right. And they're close to doing that. But he had told me that that's, you know, it's like you got to do 51% of the... You know, construction or whatever, or assisting.
That's all taken into account with these kits. The kits are designed such that they meet that rule. So the owner's manual instructions and things that you need to do to complete that airplane meet that 51% requirement.
Right. It's like buying a model airplane when you're a kid, except that it actually matters if you don't put it together correctly. But they make sure you do. And it's a cool project. I think... You know, to say you built your own airplane, you'd not only feel, you know, good about it that you did it yourself, but you'd learn so much about how the plane operates and probably feel a little safer, or in my case, much unsafer, that you put it together yourself. Like, you know, it depends on you. All right, coming up, flying cars? Oh, no, the planet may say no to such a thing. That's next on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, a co-pilot, Captain Dennis, and even the mean dude joining us to round out the crew today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. All right, flying cars. It's been on everybody's list for years since your little kid watching the Jetsons. I mean, who doesn't want this? Come on. But we've made a lot of strides. And, you know, you go to the air shows and you see more and more vehicles that look like they could be making this dream a reality. And, you know, with the invention of quadcopters and drones and incorporating that technology into these air taxis that Uber and all these companies are starting to look at doing. And then all of a sudden it comes out that, hey, we're trying to, you know, lessen traffic and everything, and electric flying cars is really going to be the future. And then the press release comes out, well, electric flying cars are probably worse than gas-powered alternatives on ground or something. Is that what it's saying? Is the planet saying, no, we can't do this because we're going to kill it, Dennis, or what?
Not necessarily. It just depends how far you're planning on going. If you're using it to go run to the corner market, yeah, it's probably more inefficient and worse for the environment. The greenhouse gas emissions would be much higher. They did a bunch of studies, and, you know, obviously the electric airplane has some advantages. You know, from a greenhouse standpoint, mm-hmm. it's not burning any gas, but that electricity is coming from somewhere. So depending on whether it's, you know, sourced from coal or renewables or solar, it all plays into that. But they've basically calculated out that as long short trips up to 22 miles, a regular car actually produced less greenhouse emissions. Hmm. But once you started going out beyond 75 miles, and especially if you had three people in the car with you, in the flying car, it'd be far more beneficial for the environment to fly.
All right. I don't understand.
So there's hope.
I don't get it. I thought if it's electric, they're just saying to produce electricity to, you know, charge the batteries of the flying car would create greenhouse.
We're still primarily coal-based for our electricity. So until we can get off of fossils for all of our electricity, we're still going to produce more greenhouse gas.
All right, so we need a nuclear reactor in our flying cars. That'll solve the problem.
1.21 gigawatts,
oh,
right?
Oh, that's right. That's what the movie said. All right, more coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
For takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Level her off. Good job. You hear that? Flawless. It makes sense. This is second nature. I've logged a lot of remote control hours. Gus, what would you say is harder, RC or the real thing?
The real thing.
Tough call.
I'm flying across the ocean.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Dennis. And the mean dude is with us as well. So we got a three-man crew, and we are navigating the latest aviation news and information for you here on the big show today. All right, so one of the things we've mentioned before, but we haven't really, you know, covered it as much as we probably should, because it's going to be quite an event here at the beginning of June, and that's this D-Day recreation they're planning to do in Normandy. It's like, I don't know, like 20, 30 airplanes at least, if not more, I believe, recreating that day in history that happened, what, 75 years ago or something like that, Dennis? Is that right?
75th anniversary of D-Day. And they're recreating not just the D-Day, but also they're actually flying a bunch of restored DC-3s from the United States to England, retracing the route that those airplanes took during the war.
Nice. Actually, when I say 30, I think that's just the DC-3s.
Right.
I think for the actual event there in Normandy, they're expecting over 100 or something. It's going to be quite a spectacle. And then they're going to have a bunch of paratroopers popping out of the airplanes. And this will be visually something that'll be all over the mainstream media, I'm sure, just because it's going to be a visual spectacle, you think?
Well, and they're building up a lot of support for it as well. I mean, the whole mission, the flight over, is actually going to start out of Oxford, Connecticut. But prior to that, they're having several media events, and they're going to overfly the Hudson River. So can you imagine looking out New York City, looking over the Hudson, and seeing a fleet of DC-3s just like it was in World War II?
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be some pretty amazing coverage there as well. But they're going to be, you know, leapfrogging, retracing the routes that they took during the war. They're going to fly from Oxford, Connecticut, to Goose Bay, Labrador, to Norsevik in Iceland, Greenland, and then to Reykjavik, Iceland, Prestwick, Scotland, finally getting to Duxford, England, where they're going to stage and make the actual flight across the English Channel to Normandy.
It's going to be pretty cool. D-DaySquadron.org, by the way, is the website you can go to and learn more about this event coming up. Yeah, they have invited us to participate in some capacity, probably to jump out of an airplane is my guess.
Probably not without a parachute.
That's probably it will be without a parachute.
Yeah.
Once they realize the mistake they made. But I'm not sure it's going to work, unfortunately. I'm going to be on a dive trip that week. So I'm going to be diving around the island of Saba, deep in the Caribbean. So, unfortunately, I can't really, I'm not going to be able to witness that firsthand or probably even see it on TV that week. So you're going to have to cover that base. And I don't know, maybe they, you know, I wonder if they're going to have a lot of tailgaters onto this. Like, say, you know, you're not obviously part of the recreation, but are you allowed to, like, follow the leader, so to speak? Like, you hear this group of airplanes is flying through this particular area. Could you just take your Mooney up and say, hey, I'm just going to fly and just kind of set off in the distance and watch them from a safe, you know, area and find out what their flight path is? Could you do that?
I mean, in theory, you could, but Greg, but, you know, you were in the airplane with me, so you heard in some of the airplane call-outs. How close did we have to get to actually be able to see the other planes?
Well, that's true.
Air traffic control is probably not going to let us form up on them. We would have had to, you know, brief with those pilots in order to fly formation. And
I
just don't see them doing that and letting some guy in a Mooney just, you know, tag along.
Mm.
What could be really cool, though, is if you could hit them at one of their fuel stops as they're going across the U.S. before they
execute across the seas.
Absolutely.
Oh, and that's certainly going to be happening. And you know people are going to be standing out there with their cameras and recording it as this fleet of DC-3s come in and at the various stops. So yeah. I'll be looking forward to seeing that footage up on YouTube.
Well, if you're flying VFR and the planes were coming in, you know, through some particular, you know, flight plan that you were aware of, I mean, you could get up there and
oh,
get
yeah.
close enough to see them, couldn't you?
Yeah. Maybe.
I mean,
but you'd be amazed how small an airplane looks even a mile away from you.
Well, understood. But that would be that will be a visual spectacle for sure. Once again, that's going to happen around the beginning of June, maybe a few days earlier. I think it's June 2nd officially is when the festivities start to kick in. But they're saying like June 2nd through the 9th is when this track will be taking place, and it'll be all over the news. It'll be fun to watch. But once again, if you want more information, ddaysquadron.org is the website to go and check out. Now, a couple other things. You know, last week we were talking a lot about our flight over to Bimini and Dennis's Mooney 201. By the way, Amin Duda, have you ever done that? Have you ever flown over to the Bahamas or outside the U.S. in your sky? What is it, a Skycatcher? Or Skyhawk. Skyhawk.
Skyhawk.
Right? Skyhawk. Yeah. Skycatcher would be way too small.
No, it'd still make it.
It would make it, but yeah, it'd be about it.
It may make it. I'm not a small guy. It might take maybe a little bit of Pam cooking spray and a shoehorn to get me in there.
Okay. Thing. Well, you know, we could have probably used that in Dennis's Mooney 201.
Oh, come on. It wasn't that bad.
No, it wasn't. I the cabin size between your Mooney and a Skyhawk. Is there a big difference or no?
Maybe an inch or two.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, it's not that much bigger.
No, and the big thing is that with the Mooney, it's how you sit in the airplane. It feels more like a sports car. Your legs are way up under the dash. Mm-hmm. You know, you're sitting more stretched out, and so it seems like a lower cabin. Where in a Cessna, you know, you're sitting in a chair at a table, and yeah. so you know you're sitting up higher and up more upright.
Right. Right. Yeah, I had to get kind of used to, you know, how to sit because I kept hitting the rudder pedals and the brakes.
You know, I slapped you upside the head enough times.
Once you get settled in, like, okay, this is where I can, you know, hang, you're fine. You just kind of have to get used to your environment a little bit. And I'm sure you would have to do that in a Skycatcher as well. But you have a Skyhawk, so a little bit more room. But have you ever done that? You've never taken it out of the country, have you?
No, I've got my... my 12-inch high tail numbers already, but no, I haven't taken it out of the country. I heard last week about the excitement with the...
our arts and crafts?
Your arts and crafts moment, yes.
Yeah. Well, how did that work? Did you have to make your own numbers or like we did, or no? You already had those?
Having an older aircraft, it actually came with the larger numbers.
Ah, well, you're lucky. Yeah, you didn't have that kind of white trash look that we had or we were going for. It's like, hey, where are you guys from? Kentucky? Yeah, that's kind of...
Now, mine looked like I left it in a bad neighborhood overnight and somebody tagged it with spray paint.
That's right. And I did. It was funny. You know, when we pulled into customs in Fort Lauderdale, there was a pilot in a Cirrus, a 2019 Cirrus, really looked nice, came over and like, huh, nice job on the numbers, boys. And it was, you know, he wasn't really, I don't think he was making fun of us, but you could have taken
it that way. No, he wasn't, but... You know, he was like, well, that's one way to comply with the 12-inch requirements.
Yes, I like your creativity, or lack thereof, as far as arts, you know, because it was kind of a quick job. But it worked. It was practical.
Didn't take any paint when you peeled it off, did it, Dennis?
Nope, I just took the paint, took the tape off this weekend, and we didn't damage the paint. So
yeah, we were smart enough to get the no, you know, stick kind of stuff or wouldn't leave. Well,
yeah, that's why I used electrical tape instead of duct tape because the duct tape probably would have stuck really well,
and that would have blew. So anyway, but we did see this guy in this series. He's actually very helpful. And he just found it, I think, slightly humorous when he saw that. He had that gleam in his eye. But heck, he's flying in a 2019 Cirrus SR-22. This thing was decked out to the nines. And
for some reason, he didn't want to trade pink slips. I don't understand.
Yeah, go figure. You know, but he gave us a little tip real quick as we headed into customs to clear, and all was good. But Dennis sent me a video, and I thought it was the same guy, but this was Steve-O, who was he's one of the Bahamas flight ambassadors that we met at the Bahamas dinner that we were at in, at Sun and Fun. They were getting ready to do their own little Bahamas fly into the West End, and there was a video you sent me from that event or from his latest trip or something, right?
I think it might have been from the Sun and Fun event, but because the timing would be about right.
Yeah.
You know, they were leaving that Sunday from Sun and Fun to go to West End. And
right.
So it looks like Steve-O filmed all that and put it up as the latest video on his YouTube channel.
Right. And it probably was because we saw the aviation guy from the Bahamas was waving them goodbye. So they were definitely getting the VIP treatment and stuff there in the Bahamas, as they should. But it was pretty cool. Looked like they had a fairly, you know, calm type of flight back from the Bahamas back into the U.S. as we did too. It just we you know they did it in a little different level of luxury than us, I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
But the nice part was, you know, it validated what we did. All you know, they wound up going into Lauderdale Executive into the customs terminal.
Yeah.
Just like we did.
They made it. We made it too. And that was good enough for me. We got more coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Where are we? Are we in LA?
No, we're in North Dakota. And only those passengers deemed fit to fly will go on to Los Angeles. You're not one of them.
Wanna fly, fly, fly. Can I vibe, vibe, vibe on it? Fox, five, five, five on it.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Dennis and the main dude rounding out the crew as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. All right. According to the National Aeronautics
Association.
Yes. There were, believe it or not, 99 national aviation records set in 2018, which is a lot. I wouldn't even have thought there was that many to achieve. But they tracked
us. Well, there's amazing records out there. I mean, there's you can set a world record for a flight between two city pairs. I mean, it's not like just the fastest speed. It's like the fastest speed from Clarksville, Tennessee to Gainesville, Florida. Maybe mm-hmm. nobody's set a record on that flight. And so if I would have timed it, You know, maybe I could have qualified for a world record.
I think we got to come up with a few. Then maybe we can get our names. Well, is there a book like the Guinness Book of Aviation World Records? Or well, they do that.
It's an international record, so they would have it on file somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that were memorable this year was the new speed and altitude records for gliders that was set by Airbus's. I think it was called the Parion. I mean, they were up over 60,000 feet in a glider.
Wow.
There was some distance and return flight records for model airplanes and a new time to climb record set by a powered aircraft. What they didn't cover, though, was length of time to get a pilot certificate that's been applied for by Greg Holt.
I win! There you go. See, there's another excuse of why I'm stretching out my journey to become a private pilot is so I can actually hold the record for longest student in training.
Greg,
yes, mean dude. Yeah.
Mean dude is not giving you a hard time lately.
No.
But I'm going to ask the question anyway.
Oh, hey. All right.
What's new between the covers of the logbook?
Dust.
No, there's no dust. It's in a, you know, it's in a protected,
it's hermetically sealed.
Yeah, in my backpack, my aviation backpack at the moment. Yeah, but I've been flying, so you know, my head's in the game. I flew with Dennis. I was very helpful for the most part. I wasn't like parasitic drag. You'd give me that much, right, Dennis?
Yeah, you did help. I mean, you did help cut the tape, and you did actually take the wheel for probably the last 15, 20 minutes coming into Orlando. I let
See?
You fly. You found the runway. That was pretty good. Got us aimed more or less towards it.
Right. Yeah. We would have got in the general vicinity. So, you know, that's part of it. That counts for something, mean dude. So, yeah, I didn't write it down. There was nothing I had to log. But, you know, once again, it's about the journey, not the destination.
And I'm sure you can blame that on me because I was supposed to get my CFI check ride done before we
went. Yeah, see, it's your fault. It was his fault, mean dude.
I see the way this rolls.
Yeah, absolutely, as you should. But
some things never change.
I mean, have you guys, either one of you, ever wanted to have a record like that? I mean, it sounds like this is something that we could, if we put our heads together, we could come up with something that we could submit and say, hey, we did this. Can we hold the record for this at least till next year? Yeah, I think you probably got to be creative and just pick something that maybe no one's done yet. And then say, I would like to have this record for this from going here to here. You know what I mean?
And that's the trick, is to find a city pair that, you know, doesn't have someone or, you know, on a fairly old record between it. And then go through the process. You know, you have to have official recognition of the record and people, timekeepers, things like that. But it's not hard to do.
Hmm.
I have a resource available in our glider club who's done many of these world record validations. He did the timing for the Felix Baumgartner jump for Red Bull for, you know, the highest balloon skydive.
Really?
And he also did the world, he did the timing for the world record attempt recently with the P-51 Mustang, the Voodoo.
Okay.
So I can talk to Brian Utley and find out what we need to do and maybe already knows.
Make it happen, Dennis. Because look, I mean, if 99 records were set last year, that seems way higher than I would have ever expected. There has to be surely something that we could weasel our way into and take
credit. You're working on one.
Well, I know, but I'm sure they're gonna go, yeah, right, okay, yeah, like whatever, loser. Yeah, we got to come up with something a little bit more substantial. I think I'm serious. That'd be kind of cool to have a real record. You know, maybe a quickest flight from, I don't know, Bimini to Freeport or something in there, like an island hop in the Bahamas or something, that we could figure out some way that we could, do something fast, quick. Or it doesn't have to be speed, though. I don't know. I guess you got to be creative. Had fastest climb or something like that, too. All kinds of different things are... I don't know. We just got to put our heads together. If anyone listening right now, if you think there is a record that the Just Plain Radio crew could execute and accomplish, because we don't want to fail. I mean, in worst case, we'll just lie. Yeah, we did this. Timekeeper timed it right here. Joe, here's your $20. Tell him. You know, something like that. Let us know. And then hopefully we'll show up in the record books or online as a record holder. Is that what they do? Do they put all the stuff up online somewhere? There has to be something. You get a ribbon or a statue or what?
Well, I'm sure you get a certificate, but the records get certified by the National Aerospace Association and then are validated with the FAI, the Federation Aeronautique International. And so they're maintained there. I'm sure they're on the web if we go and look them up.
Okay. So do you like the idea, Mean Dude? Yes? No?
I'm liking it, but do me a favor. If you're looking for something for me to do, look for something that says world's slowest, because Skyhawk ain't going to get there quick.
Good point. Maybe that's what we go for, slowest flight. That could work. And maybe do, you know, figure out a, you know, where you're flying into the wind and you're making like no progress. And it
negative ground speed.
Yeah. And it takes you like, you know, 13 hours to fly Bimini to Fort Lauderdale when it usually should take 20 minutes. So we're like moving like, you know, an inch at a time into the wind or something. There's an idea.
But think about it. You don't have to be that fast, considering that one of these records was the speed over a 500-kilometer course set in a glider. Gliders don't have an engine.
So you don't even
need
that.
And yet they still manage to do 158 miles an hour.
Okay. And on that note, we'll have to wrap it up. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plain Radio is brought to you by JustPlainRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plain Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlainRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plain Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plain Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlainRadio.com.